I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And a very first good morning to you right here from 93.7 The Fan, live and local from our Green Tree Studios. It is the early morning show. My name is Matt Cole. I'll be with you here till about 5:40 before the Fan Morning Show pre-show. As always, on a brisk and very chilly Wednesday morning, this September 16th. Man, I mean, I expected the temperature to drop a little bit overnight, but I was a little surprised, a little shocked when I got into my car, opened the garage. This morning definitely was a chill in the air, and that means fall is, well, I don't know if it's here yet, but it's coming, and it's football season, so I can't be all that upset because I know we are right in the middle of things. We're about to be right in the middle of things in a football season that hopefully lasts and continues and rolls right along. So I won't start there, though, to begin today. I will start here. If you didn't know, or if you tried to block it out from your mind, the Pirates lost their seventh straight game last night to the Reds, 4-1. Joe Musgrove got the start. If you didn't hear the update before the show, he's 0-5 now with a 5.74 ERA. And he's showing like he's more of a 5-starter or a 4-starter than a 2-starter. Or maybe even a future bullpen piece. Who knows? But he certainly doesn't look like a front-end-of-the-rotation guy, despite the 8 strikeouts that he had last night. But I'm not going to focus on that or even the game last night. I mean, we don't need to rehash that or their 14-33 record. We don't need to get into the details of all of those things. What I did want to bring you instead is thoughts from two men, General Manager Ben Cherington and Manager Derek Shelton. Their thoughts on one man, Gregory Polanco. And I heard these this morning, and all I can hear in my head is the song Fooling Yourself by Styx. You know that one? Yes, Styx makes other songs besides Renegade. But that's all I can think of when I hear these things. So let's start with Derek Shelton first, the manager of this ball club. Here's what he says about Gregory Polanco, who's now hitting, by the way, 138 this season with a whopping 250 OPS. And if he had enough at-bats to qualify, he would safely tout the worst batting average in baseball. So, Derek, is it time to unplug your man?
We have to continue to get him out there. We have to, you know, continue to make sure he gets his at-bats and work through it. And you know, he's going to work through it, and he's going to be a big part of what we're doing, you know, not only the end of this year, but into next year.
Okay, so it's full steam ahead. We are going to play Gregory Polanco no matter what, no matter what's going on. He needs his at-bats. Okay, let's go to you, Mr. Ben Cherington. What are your thoughts on Gregory's performance this year?
He's healthy, feels good physically. He's moving around well. He's strong. He's hitting the ball really hard when he makes contact, which is encouraging.
Okay, what about his future?
He's still really young and at a point in his career where there's no reason to think that he can't, you know, be a really good player again. I would expect him to be, and frankly look forward to him doing that in a Pirates uniform next year.
Man, I'll be honest with you. The Pirates are just being straight up delusional with Gregory Polanco. They are. And they're doing it willingly. Ben Cherington is not dumb. He's a World Series winner, in fact. He comes with a pretty big resume into Pittsburgh. This isn't a guy who's taken his first general manager's position, is looking at this roster, maybe doesn't know how to evaluate the talent, is just kind of figuring it out as he goes. Now, he's got a track record of being in charge of some very good baseball teams, and he knows good baseball players when he sees them. This is blatant denial of the truth and desperation on his part, knowing that the organization has no choice but to continue to try to work it out with Gregory Polanco. And for multiple reasons, they've got to stick it out with him, both money-wise, because they're locked into another year of paying him $11 million before they can buy him out in 2022, and because, well, they don't have much behind him. And his potential ceiling, at least at one point in his baseball career, in his baseball life, I guess, is higher than anyone else that's behind him. And you know what? I don't even really blame Charrington in the end. He inherited a really bad organization right now that I'm sure if you sat him down and wrapped him up and gave him some truth serum, he would say that he didn't expect the cupboards to be this bare. But to say that he's still really young and he's still figuring things out, as that second clip that I played, him saying, Ben, he's 29 years old, man. He's not 23. This isn't his second season, you know, after a year where he got was a September call-up. Like, these should be prime seasons for the guy. And it's not happening. And I think this might be the scariest sign yet from the Pirates in 2020. I mean, they've gone through a lot of dark times. But just the back-to-back thoughts from Derek Shelton clearly saying, no matter what, we're running this guy out there. He's going to get his at-bats. We're not changing a thing. And you know what? That might not even matter because wins and losses don't matter. But as far as seeing other guys in your organization, it matters. And then Ben Charrington just flat out saying he's hit the ball hard, even though he's got his 138 ERA, or excuse me, batting average. And he's still a young player that's going to develop at 29 years old. Yes. I mean, come on now. Also, Blake Cederlund, on a happier note with the Pirates, he made his Major League debut last night. He pitched a clean sixth inning in his Major League debut. He recorded two groundouts and got Jose Garcia to fly out to left field. Threw 14 pitches. Fastball averaged 98.2 miles per hour. Second pitch in the show was a 99.5 mile per hour fastball that Brian Goodwin took for a called strike. And there were many people that have been following the Pirates closely that were calling for a Blake Cederlund call-up. And here he is, made his debut last night. Looks like a guy who's got some fiery stuff. Looks like the 2020 version of a baseball reliever where everybody throws 95+. But even he's touching close to 100 miles per hour, and he has in the past, did so in spring training. Looks like a future closer, maybe. You know, you can't say that after, you know, one appearance, of course. But the pure stuff, it could develop into that. But he's probably more of a potential trade piece because he's coming in too early. And that's what kind of sickens you about it. You see this guy, an exciting young reliever coming in, and what kind of teams is he going to be a part of? It's all part of the rebuilding process. I understand it. And maybe, you know, I do root for his development, so that they can get some valuable pieces back for him a couple years down the road. And maybe you enjoy his production now and the development process now, but as far as being here longer term, he might be better to get some prospects back to continue to build this thing up over the next 3 to 4 years, or however long this takes. All right, coming up next, some things you may have missed from last night in the sports world, including... yes, some trouble in Cleveland already after week one. There's some drama out there. I'll go over the details of that. Plus, to end the show today, it's the second edition, Mike Tomlin Moments, the interesting, the insightful, the comical and the cliche from his press conference yesterday with the media. That's all on the way. It's the Early Morning Show. Welcome in. It is the Early Morning Show right here on The Fan. Some things you may have missed from last night, especially if you're joining me this early in the morning. Let's get to it.
Time now for While Yins Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
First, turn quickly to basketball. We did have a Game 7, and no matter what sport, what league, what teams are involved, I think if you're just a general sports fan, you have a general interest in a Game 7. At least I'd hope to think that, but maybe not when it starts at 9 o'clock. So I'm not sure if anybody really tuned in much for this one. Denver Nuggets came back. This is the second time they've been down 3-1 in a series. They were against the Utah Jazz, came back to win that series, and did it again against the LA Clippers. Came back, won Game 7 last night, 104-89, not even close. Jamal Murray, 40 points to lead the way there, and the Denver Nuggets are headed to the Western Conference Finals. So interesting there in the NBA. Also in the NHL from last night, the Islanders still hanging around. That game went into double overtime in Game 5. Lightning looking to put them away, up 3-1 in the series, but it was a 2-1 win in double overtime for the Islanders. So there will be a Game 6 that is played tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, so you can check that out. Also, some injury news in the NFL. Michael Thomas is supposed to be out several weeks with an injury for the New Orleans Saints. So, you know, personally for the Fan Morning Show, that means that Jim Colony is going to need to have a new receiver for our five-man fantasy team. And also, a notable injury in football. And this was something that I think everybody kind of saw coming after he went out of the game and after Adam Gase just kind of expressed his remorse for putting him back into the game, and that is Le'Veon Bell. He is now on injured reserve with a pulled hamstring. So he's out at least 3 weeks. And these are the new IR rules. So he must miss at least 3 games, meaning he'll be eligible to play week 5 against the Cardinals. So this is a new thing that the NFL is doing this year, where they put guys on the IR, and it's a minimum of 3 games. So that's where Le'Veon Bell finds himself right now and his continued plummet in his career. And if he wants to get anything out of the rest of his days in the NFL, he might as well move on from the New York Jets, because that relationship is testy. It's always going to be an issue, and they're perpetual losers, really. I mean, they are. And so I don't see how this can last very much longer with Bell in New York. Speaking of perpetual losers, there is trouble in Cleveland after just 1 week. Mary Kay Cabot does a very good job on Cleveland.com covering the team, has done so for years. Goes over a story in her headline. Check this out. Is the Browns should let Odell Beckham Jr. seek a trade if they remain committed to Baker Mayfield. And one report says they're already shopping him. And that report comes from Mike Francesa of WFAN in New York, who says, actually tweets, I hear Browns, who are clueless, looking to trade Odell. Follows that up with, they are asking a lot. I don't often defend Beckham, but he isn't the problem. Intimating that, of course, Baker Mayfield is the real problem in Cleveland. I wouldn't tend to disagree with Mike Francesa, even if he does do and say some wacky stuff at this point in his career. And so already this relationship is kind of falling apart for the 2020 season. And I said this at the beginning of the year. Odell Beckham Jr. is a problem. With a young quarterback still trying to find his way in a town and in an organization that's easily frustrated by decades of losing, and with a man in Odell who, you know, wants to win, sure, but is also highly emotional and wants the spotlight and wants to always get his, it's disaster. It's a fiasco. It's a catastrophe. OBJ needs to be on a winning team with a capable quarterback, or else it just doesn't work. And I really doubt that he'll ever work in Cleveland. Now, maybe it really is between Baker and Odell, and you've got to make that choice. I'm not even really sure who you choose there if you're the Browns. If you've got Odell or Baker, that's got to play out for the rest of the year. All I know is that Baker Mayfield looked awful against Baltimore in week one. And the more he does that, the more Odell is going to act out, lash out, speak out, and the more likely that he's going to go and leave Cleveland, and the more we can just sit back and watch over here. All right, coming up next, some Mike Tomlin moments from yesterday from his press conference with the media. Plenty of things to inform you on that he went over yesterday, including some thoughts on his offensive line and one kind of controversial thing, I guess, that one offensive lineman did yesterday or during the game on Monday night. All of those things coming up next. .528 on this Wednesday morning, and a good morning to you. It is the early morning show for a few more minutes before the Fan Morning Show pre-show at 5:40. 8 o'clock today on the Fan Morning Show, it's Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Steelers beat writer. Then at 9:30, it's John Wehner, Pirates broadcaster, who is back again for his weekly spot after being bumped, I guess, from yesterday because of all the Steelers post-game. So he'll join the show at 9:30 today. The Rock, always talking about things beyond just baseball as well. Love to have fun with him and his weekly hit with the Fan Morning Show. And right now, let's do it. It's Mike Tomlin moments, the interesting, the insightful, the comical, and the cliche from yesterday's press conference with the media. And you know, just before I start this segment, I did this last year as well, already did an edition of it this season. This segment comes from a place of a lot of respect and love for Mike Tomlin. This is not just poking fun at him or whatever. I mean, we all know that he's got a very particular way of speaking during press conferences that can often lend itself to a laugh or to make you think a little bit, and that's the whole point of this segment. It's not just poking fun at him. And honestly, I mean, I listen to a lot of other coaches in the league. We do that Sounds from the Other Side segment on Fridays around 8:30, and so I listen to just about every coach that the Steelers play throughout the season, and Mike Tomlin is definitely one of the best. He is not going to go out there and say something that's inflammatory and not going to say anything that's going to, you know, raise eyebrows or create headlines or any of those kinds of things. He puts out fires with the best of them. And just listening to other coaches around the league, you can definitely understand that and appreciate it more with what Mike Tomlin does with his press conferences, especially even this year with Bruce Arians. I mean, former staffer on this, for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Offensive coordinator who goes out and says against Tom Brady after week one that he needed more grit and determination. I mean, I don't know if that is necessarily going to stir up something in the locker room, but you won't hear that kind of stuff. And if you do, it's very calculated from Mike Tomlin. So that's the place where I'm coming from with all of this. And of course, there's an official count to these things because he's got his phrases, he's got his cliches. I'll go over that in the season standings, if you will, before the end of the segment. But first, I want to start with what he started with, and that is taking care of the business, and that's injuries.
It's safe to characterize Zach Banner as out for this week. They're still in the process of getting scans on Wiz and James Conner, but I think their forecast is a more favorable one, so we'll leave the light on for those two.
Wiz. Yes, so Zach Banner, his long-term health does not look good. He also posted a Twitter video yesterday basically saying that he's going to have surgery on Friday, will be done for the season. Here's part of what that sounded like.
I'm going to get over this. Very excited about my recovery process, and I'll come back even stronger next year, next season. And, you know, it's just another obstacle that I got to get over, and very, very excited to take on that challenge.
Man, of course you feel for that guy and working to get that right tackle spot and then having it taken away via injury. But what does leaving the light on entail for James Conner and for Wisniewski? Who knows? He stopped just short of saying the week of practice will speak to them, of course, Mike Tomlin. But if James Conner does come back, he shouldn't be the starter. He should not get more carries than Benny Snell. It would be a mistake to do so. Not only because of his health and just the fact that if he does get, you know, 10-plus carries, there's a likelihood that he could get hurt. I mean, we're honestly at that point in James Conner's career where you think about, should he even honestly take 10 carries in a game to keep from, you know, not getting injured? But also just from sheer performance. It's time to ride the hot hand. And this is something that Tomlin hasn't done in the past. I think of most notably with D'Angelo Williams when he was leading the league in rushing. And when Le'Veon Bell came back after being suspended to start the year, he just went full on Le'Veon Bell. Now, Bell was one of the best running backs in the league, a little bit of a different scenario, but D'Angelo Williams got nothing after that. I mean, you could have at least had some kind of split of the carries there and rewarded him for his performance in Bell's absence. But it's time to do that now. It's time to say, Benny Snell, you get the bulk of the carries, even if James Conner is available to us. There's no audio to this, but he also was impressed by everything Drew Lock does, Mike Tomlin was, and that's the quarterback for the Denver Broncos, which is interesting because he's interesting. He's kind of Daniel Jones part two. He can do some things if you don't get pressure. He's athletic. He's big-armed. I think there's a similar approach there. It might be a similar performance from him as Daniel Jones, if not a little bit better. I think Drew Lock is going to really impress people as the season goes along. How about this exchange? It's going back to the running backs on Benny Snell.
Hey, Mike, you know, last week you talked, said, you know, James is our bell cow. If is Benny capable of fulfilling that role if for some reason James is limited?
I think he displayed that last night.
That was it. Boom. Not a question. Will Graves on the question there from the AP and basically saying, hey, this is what it is, man. He showed that he can do it, and we're going to roll with him when we're ready to roll with him. Are they ready to roll with Chooks for another week?
I thought both guys were starter capable, and I still feel that way. So I'm extremely comfortable with Chooks and his ability to play and his overall readiness.
Yeah, Chooks being Chooks Okorafor in at right tackle for Zach Banner. I'm not sure if there's a big difference between the two. Banner obviously won the position for a reason out of camp, but he's adamant again, and he said this multiple times now, Tomlin has, that he's ready to go as well. Okorafor is. So I don't think there should be any worry or panic in there. As much as there is about this next guy, about him potentially getting some playing time, Kevin Dotson.
It's going to take a tremendous effort by him and by us. And by us, I mean us putting him in the very best position to perform. And so there's some dual responsibility there.
Yeah, how about if you compare those two answers? The one about Chooks, about him being starter capable, and then that one on Dotson of how they're going to really have to basically move mountains to get him ready. Mike Tomlin really wants to avoid that. And that's where it's like, man, David DeCastro really, really needs to come back. Or Wisniewski needs to be available. Something's got to give so that they don't have this fourth-round rookie in there throwing him into a starter position that he's clearly not ready for, or at least the coaching staff doesn't feel that he's ready for. And Jim Colony came in with a question about David DeCastro and got this answer.
You know, I don't know. I'm hopeful that he's able to work tomorrow. We'll see.
That was it. And that's all the update we get on DeCastro, something to look out for the rest of this week. Some interesting thoughts from Tomlin on Juju.
You know, that's Juju. You know, he came in ready to play and he performed well. But we've seen that from him the most of the time that he's been here. And so, you know, I don't know that any of us were surprised by what he delivered last night.
Can we start to think that way again, where we're not surprised by success for Juju? You know, he took a beating last year for, you know, took a lot of criticism for fumbling the ball again, for not being there, for being injured throughout the season. And when he was in there with his performance not being up to number one receiver standards, I just wonder how many weeks, I guess, in succession it takes for everybody to not be surprised by a 6-catch, 69-yard, 2-touchdown performance, which he had on Monday night. Mike Tomlin also addressed kind of, I guess, the elephant in the room, and that was Al Villanueva and the helmet controversy.
Yes, he did discuss that with me, and it's in line with everything that we said about participating in elements of social justice this offseason. As an organization and myself, as a head coach of the organization, we're going to support our players in however they choose to participate and express themselves or to not participate or not express themselves, as long as they do so thoughtfully and with class. And so that has been a blanket approach that we've had. And so I think it needs no further explanation in terms of our support for Al Villanueva or anyone else in terms of what they do or doesn't do in regards to social justice, as long as they adhere to the outline that I just outlined for you.
Yeah, and I won't belabor this. Cleared by team, cleared by coach, I'm sure, cleared by teammates. People are saying he isn't a team player from this. I mean, come on. Mike Tomlin also had a very interesting answer about inactives, basically saying that he flubbed, that he messed it up, that there was an extra spot on the roster that he could have filled and didn't do so, and it was kind of a memo from the league handed down to him that he didn't quite understand. So to me, that means that Anthony McFarland should have and could have gotten a hat on Monday, and that he will this week for sure. And also to end this, we've got to have a funny exchange. Albie Oxenrider, one of the nicest guys in the world, with this in the Zoom call.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Great.
Great. That's it. It's over. It's great. All right. The official count from Mike Tomlin's press conference yesterday. It actually, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of repeats. I got one to leave the light on. I got one distributive labor. I've got one toter, excuse me, of the football. So that's two on the year. Twice a two count of collective, one count of things of that nature, and one count of meat on the bone. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet and McMurray. Join Sun, and the sun is shining on budget-friendly deals with 32 new and used vehicles under $19,996. Today, sunshine, high 75. Tonight, clear again in a low of 55. Pre-show, it's next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.